You are watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. The number of COVID cases have now been peaking. In fact, one would argue that the numbers will continue to rise in the days and months to come. So, however, we want to still understand some industries that are still impacted by the COVID pandemic. And we also try to understand how the country is going to grasp with some of the trailing segments of the economy. One such economy sector that not many people want to talk about is the sporting events sector, the marathon sector, for instance, Ironman. Those are kind of the events that not many people want to talk about. So we have here in the studio folks from the Sports Industry Coalition to talk about the current events that are currently happening right now with the country. Joining us is CG Lim, Regional Director of the World Endurance Malaysia, as well as Karen Low, event owner of the Malaysia Women Marathon. And of course, CG, the last time we spoke was many years ago. You pointed out just before we started the show. But those were the rosy days. Those were the go-go days. Right now, one thing needs to be said. Income or revenue from sporting events, outdoor sporting events, have now reduced dramatically. Some estimates go down up to 95% or 99%. Yeah. So basically, you guys are wiped out. Yeah. And when we talk about your sector, it's not just about the event organizers. Say, for instance, Karen, it's not just you. It's the tourism, the hospitality business, inbound traffic, food and beverage. When you guys did the Ironman in Langkawi, for instance, I still remember our conversation, CG, that roadside sellers were also benefiting from those kind of things.
Exactly.
So things have been bleak for the past year. So let's talk a little bit more about how the creation of the Sports Industry Coalition aims to address this problem collectively in order to bring more public light into your plight and perhaps the way forward. Maybe CG can start first.
Right, great. Thanks for the opportunity. Let me share some stats that we have accumulated over the last month. Back in 2019, this whole industry of mass participation. So when we talk about sports itself, there's always classification of sports. Yeah, there's always the participative sport like ours. There's also a spectator sport like MotoGP, Formula One. Spectator sport itself, you know, have its life of its own. But mass participation itself, it's a difficult classification because it involves a lot of people, public itself. So when we went to study on the statistic in 2019, how much impact was the mass participation industry into the economy of the country? Based on the data that we accumulated from all the members of SIC, we actually generated about close to, estimated about 1.3 billion GDP impact in 2019. And in 2020, of course, with the pandemic, that went down all the way to almost nothing. Yeah. So the big impact now is that for the last 14 months, this industry has been running purely on cash flow. It's been a difficult time. A lot of our friends, we've closed down. A lot of friends have diversified into something, but they still cannot get the income back. They have rents to pay, employees' salaries to pay. So eventually, a lot of the members in the industry start to close down.
Yeah, so some of the news reports have come out, Karen, for instance, you guys have to let go up to 85% of your workforce. What has been done to actually help you assist in trying to organize these kind of events in the days or in the weeks to come? But we all know that COVID is rising tremendously right now. So how do we balance between the two?
How do we balance? It's a lot to do with, you know, how we want to work out with the employees and the staff that we have with us. Mm. A lot of, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of us had to cut back salaries and had to pull back on costs and expenses, you know, our operating expenses. We were trying to reach out to certain government help, you know.
Including the Ministry of Sports, I suppose.
But there were a lot of qualifications that we had conditions to fulfill. And the conditions are quite difficult for us to meet, you know.
Like because what
conditions? If I may add, like last year when the government came up with pre-hardening packages and all, there's subsidy upah is one of those that was supposed to help the SME industry. That itself has a prerequisite of salary cap before you are able to entitle for the support from the government. A lot of us players in the industry do not have the luxury of meeting that requirement. And if you understand that, we also understand that the government is trying to help the B40s, which is very good. Yeah, I think that's important. But then, in Malaysia now, there is a middle income trap that people are talking about it but not doing anything about it. So a lot of, if you have been working 5 years, 6 years in this industry, you probably have raised above the B40 level. Mm. You're in the lower tier of the M40s. Mm. But there is no support, there is no subsidies, there is no give hands out for that age group, salary group.
Yeah. So you basically fell through the cracks. You are not eligible for this, but you can't fit for that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the situation right now, I fall back again and again to the current level of the cases. As we did this taping, there were 393,000 cases, positive, cumulative. Very recently, over the weekend, we've seen 2,600 cases. Yeah. And if you can see the trajectory and the R number, it's going to increase in the near term.
Exactly.
The vaccination process, while it is taking place, it's still at its infancy stages. Yep. We're looking at around 20,000 people being vaccinated a day. That's slow. And for various reasons, and we've had folks from the MOH and PIC, the organization that is trying to organize the vaccinations, they all say that the numbers will pick up, the vaccination intensity will pick up. The way I see it is nothing can be done for your sector, at least for this year.
Yeah.
Or am I wrong in my assessment?
Well, we are very hopeful, for sure. We understand that probably it's a bit insensitive now for us to be pushing hard to reopen the mass participation. But we've gone through two MCO. We're probably now in the third MCO, if you can call it. Mm. Has the numbers come down in the coming months or weeks, we do hope that the government do not forget us again. Because in the first two MCO, when the numbers were down, we actually had the opportunity to reopen, to have smaller events to happen first. I think that's very important. Mm. Get the door open for smaller events, like a few hundred people to even carry out the event. Because as we carry out confidence build, we can also refine the SOP to make the event better. And then the bigger events have an opportunity to carry out so that we can bring international tourists here to actually be part of the event, like Ironman event. But if the door is not open even for the smaller events, then there's even no opportunity for the industry to revamp itself, to survive. So for now, we definitely for sure we can't push for reopening tomorrow. But as the days and weeks comes, the numbers come down, we just urge the government, KBS, MKN, do not forget us, because we are an industry waiting to survive and waiting to open, and we are not being able to survive right now.
So the economic benefits you mentioned just now can reach up to 1 billion ringgit if you look at 2019 numbers.
Exactly.
So for instance, Karen, when you talk about organizing the women's marathon event, it's going to impact almost everybody along the supply chain, even including the premises that you guys use, the F&B, some sponsorship. It's a whole,
hotels.
Yeah, it's a whole tie-in of the sector, but all of them are affected. So how do you balance this? How do you talk to us through what happened last year, and can't possibly continue on this year? What would be some of your wishes?
So some of our wishes was actually like what CJ says, that we need to bring in the confidence back. You know, we need to get people to feel a little bit more relaxed, although we have an outgoing pandemic. But what do we do in the meantime? Start the smaller events. If I'm not mistaken, we can look at 250 participants, get that ahead, maybe the shorter distance, not the full marathon. But so long as an event comes out with a particular SOP that we can all agree on, and everyone's good about this SOP, and I suppose that model can be replicated in other events. We really need to bring up other issues besides sports. Take for example in Malaysia Women Marathon, it's about the social impact or the social issues for women, the family, and for last year, we had to cancel our event. We were the first event to be cancelled out because of the pandemic that happened in March. And for this year, we could not reach out as much women or as much audience that we wanted to. Right, regularly we would have about 10,000 women in a particular event, but if you do it in the virtual run format, that reach is not there, that mass participation is not there, that understanding of a social cause and impact is not there. Yeah. And every year, the theme of the International Women's Day changes, and that's not reached out to a lot of people that we want to reach out to.
Very recently, Standard Chartered did a virtual KL marathon. I participated, but it wasn't the same.
Yes, it's just,
you know, but and it was just something that people understood it as required to do. Do you feel that there is a time for you to now change the way you guys do your events, to pivot, to try to make it more pandemic suited? I mean, I don't know. Have you guys thought about that?
Yeah, actually, we have spoken at length as well within the industry coalition. You know, the coalition is made out of event owners, organizers, venue host owners, suppliers as well.
This is the
sports industry coalition. So, in a way, how do we move forward, next step? How do we reinvent ourselves? Yeah, that's very important. In the last year, 2020, the whole industry went to a virtual world. Yeah, so in the beginning it was good. Everybody was excited because it was something new. But then we went through this virtual event fatigue. It's like too many. And like you said, you know, rightly pointed out, it's not the same as a real physical event. So moving forward with this ever-growing pandemic, we don't know when it's going to really end. There is an idea of doing a hybrid now, moving forward. So there is going to be a virtual element and a physical element as well into tie-in, so that the revenue-wise, it makes sense. Mm. The physical event, based on regulation, SOP, may be limited, right? But then how do we get more a wider audience to participate in the same messaging? That's when the virtual world comes along. So it could be a hybrid. It could be a virtual event to qualify for the physical event, example. Yeah, it could move along that line.
What about your colleagues from around the world? How are they coping? Do you know?
Yeah, yeah. Actually,
China,
we were just
talking about that.
China is open. Xiamen Marathon just happened recently. Ho Chi Minh City Marathon happened about 2 weekends ago. And they had 12,000 people in Vietnam running in Ho Chi Minh, a full marathon, half marathon, and the 10K run together.
Are you familiar with their vaccination numbers right now?
No, actually, no. We don't have their vaccination number, but their number of cases domestically are not as high as ours now, for sure. Singapore has opened up as well, a regulation that you can have 250 people per event if you apply, and for mass participation. So they are slowly opening it up with the control number. Australia, as you know, it's if they have an issue, they lock down the whole city for 2 days and all.
Yeah.
They have been doing mass participation events since December this year.
It ties in very directly with how they're managing the pandemic domestically, right? I mean,
correct.
In Vietnam, in China, in Australia, these are countries that are coming out tops when it comes to a long pandemic management. We tend to forget that we started off okay back in March, in April last year.
Yes.
But somehow or other, we kind of dropped the ball, and this is where we are at now, where, you know, close to 2% of the entire population has been affected by COVID or is currently suffering from COVID. And because of this, is there a possibility for you to not only ask more from the government, but try to think about doing it like, you know, multiple events away from packed cities, or try to, you know, do it instead of, you know, with thousands and thousands of people, 50 people, maybe 100 people, those kind of things that you might be able to fit that SOP requirements by the Ministry of Sports and Ministry of Health, those kind of items.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we have been also talking, even MWM as well, trying to scale down into smaller, sizable event over a couple weekends.
Mm.
You know, instead of 1 weekend squeezing everybody there, we can always do a multiple weekend with a smaller number following the SOP that MKN allows us to do.
Or have a series of it.
Yeah.
But this is where the government has to come in to assist us more in terms of getting approvals for areas other than city, you know, the central area. So if we're going to move around the other parts here, so we don't know whether we can rent us. The other issue here is the cost factors. You know, if we move out and we want to bring the participants to the other parts of Malaysia or the other parts of the state, so these are also cost bearing impact on the participants.
Yeah.
And that's where we probably need some adjustments in some subsidies or, you know, some help in some financial areas.
So specifically, what have you requested from the Ministry of Sports right now?
So what we have about a month ago met up with the KBS team, which they were very helpful. Actually, they were working very hard to try to also restart our part of our business, mass participation. We submitted our proposed idea of SOP, and they also showed us and discussed. We had a very good dialogue about what is needed to be done. So they, from what we understood, they have submitted that SOP guideline to MKN. That was about 3.5 weeks to 4 weeks ago. So since then, it's been sitting in MKN, waiting for announcement to happen. But as the last couple of days, as you know, it's unfolded, we are close to 3,000 cases every other day. So I believe that's going to be a holdback on this approval. But again, you know, we want to state that, you know, as the number comes down in the coming days and weeks, please, you know, reopen our sector so that at least we can get to revive our business.
There's also this element of Raya coming up, and of course after Raya Puasa, there's Raya Haji.
Yes.
There's something very disheartening. I got something from my WhatsApp last night of the thousands of people at Masjid India.
Tunku Abdul Rahman.
Tunku Abdul Rahman, yeah. Pardon me. And Gulatis, and you know, the yes. typical you know, fair yes. of Raya, but you know, it's pandemic.
Yes, so it's scary.
I don't know. I mean, that's...
You know, TG, if I may add, I think it's the small number for participation. The 250 is really small according to, you know, I mean, if you compare it to Standard Chartered KL Marathon, it's like massive 30,000. But 250, it's very doable, good size.
Manageable.
And that's the one that we really need to let other people realize is the confidence, you know. Are we building the confidence to get one step forward to bring back mass participation? And that's actually quite important. And then, I mean, if you talk about terms of economic impact, then it falls over slowly, bit by bit. So,
It's moving away from sporting, moving away from the economic impact. It's also mental health care.
Oh, yes, for sure.
I mean, I'm running every day just around my neighbourhood, as permitted
exactly.
by the SOP.
Yeah.
So the statistics came out by the Ministry of Health. For 2019, 50% of Malaysians are obese.
Okay.
Which is no surprise, though, right?
Actually, I'm surprised it's 50%.
Only.
But yeah, because it doesn't take a lot to be obese.
Yeah,
the BMI
yes.
above 25, game over yes. already, you're obese
yeah.
already.
So we have 24 hours of food before MCO, right?
Yeah.
And out of the 50%, about 30% of kids in Malaysia are obese and or overweight. So that is scary, right? So, and by clamping down a participative event, you're not giving them avenue to do it, to exercise and to burn the calories they need to stay healthy.
Yeah.
If you don't have a competition or a competition or an event to go to, your training also tends to slow down
yes.
and you
exactly.
slack a bit.
Unless
you know.
You have some very strong internal motivation to keep
yes.
on going.
Exactly.
So we've also had some records. We found that although you have people who will go out and run on their own, you know, just to keep fit, but they are not participating in the virtual run because they are not keen to do that endurance run. They are more particularly, they want a shorter distance. They want the one that they can have an achievement. So these are the people who have not come in, who have been, you know, away from the really events, the sports events
the
that's happening.
Line, yeah.
I agree.
Yeah,
doing 5K is manageable for me nowadays. Mm. 42, I'm sorry. Not for now. I mean, it takes a lot, right? For the training and everything, and then you train collectively with some of your friends.
Because the basic virtual runs happening this time around are like long, long distance.
Yeah.
It goes on to 250, the 1,000 kilometers, you know.
So those
it's
are very
fun.
Niche market.
Yeah,
but you're right, we've used a lot of these words, right? Sensitive, understandable of the situation. We also know that you know, MKN or the government is not punitive. They don't particularly hate you guys for no reason. Everything is done with the public's interest at heart.
Yes.
And because of that, does it seem strange for you guys to ask for this at a time when the cases are rising? Or do you feel that there's a greater good here?
I think definitely there's a greater good. I mean, it's for survival, you know. That's the end of it for us. Before this, we never had a representation. So there was never a voice that is unified to tell the KBS or MKN we need to reopen, right? So different organizers...
Like a union, I suppose.
Well, we can call it, but it's more of a coalition working together for the same purpose, yeah.
Mm.
And never in the history of Malaysia have competitors in the same industry sat down on the table in our
That's
industry.
Right, your competitors.
Yes, to sit down and talk it over and agree on the same direction, yeah, on how we should proceed. So this coalition was set up last month, and we signed an MOU. About 70 old companies signed up saying that, right, we agree that this coalition will be the voice for the industry. So this, so since then, we have made headway. We have spoken to MoTeC, we've spoken to KBS. We're trying to find our way into MOF, even to the SME industry, to really tell them and explain about our industry and our plight, you know, what we need help from. Even like, for instance, taking a loan from the bank. There are people who say that if you don't have money, why not take a loan? We're doing this pandemic to get a bridging cash to pay salary and rental. But some of us went to go to the bank and ask for a soft loan. But the bank asks you, your event is not started, so how do you plan to repay this loan? So it's a chicken and egg problem. You're gonna
I'm sorry, the bank's question is actually very valid.
It's a valid thing, yeah. Because you don't have revenue.
We don't have a collateral to show.
Yeah, you don't have a revenue. How are you going to pay the loan that you take? But the loan is important because I have to pay salary, right?
That's why the kind of funding you need is not from a bank. It's actually from a grant or
government
assistance.
Yes, correct. Maybe a 0% interest-free loan, a grant for a certain number of years to support, to make sure that this industry jumpstarts fast enough to bring in the GDP that is needed, right? We are contributing at least 1.3 billion a year to the GDP of the country.
Yeah. And well, that 1.3 is gone as of 2020.
It's gone. It's totally
gone.
And
doesn't look like it's going to come back 2021. No. Or 2022, if you think about it.
Well, we're hoping soon, but so it's not going
to
be so fast.
Again, that push to just reopen in a smaller number is very important.
Yep.
So we probably need, maybe from the KBS side, just for the Putrajaya Sukan to speak to, you know, maybe our industry.
I'm sorry, what is Putrajaya Sukan?
Sports commissioner. So there's a sports commissioner,
So anyway, but they still need to get the approval from MKN first,
so they can start
that. Ball.
So that needs to be some communication with us.
Why can't you guys speak to MKN directly? Why must it be KBS speaking to MKN?
Well, in terms of the sporting environment, KBS it's the main representation of the whole industry.
Okay, so they speak on behalf.
Yeah.
So it's actually imperative for you guys to make sure that...
It's important that KBS is the one bringing these issues to MKN directly, so that there is a weight. Because KBS is responsible to ensure that the development of sports is there, right? So we are one of the sectors under KBS. Even our approval, our license and permit, it's under Putrajaya Sukan, which is under KBS. So that all under it's under the umbrella of KBS. And using KBS to be our front to approach to MKN.
Do you have any visibility? I know you were talking about cases spiking and perhaps, you know, you don't want to be left behind, and when cases do drop, MKN is going to announce something. Mm. But what is the timeline moving forward? Do you have any clear idea?
We do not have what or when MKN will make announcement or approve our spot. Yeah, because there is so far very silent since the last meeting that we had with KBS. No information from MKN, no information from KBS on when this will reopen is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So it's a wait and see.
Yeah, it's a wait and see.
Fantastic. Okay. I do wish you guys all the best. And I do wish the Sports Industry Coalition can get around to this. As a participant of outdoor events, marathon specifically, I'm more than interested to know how this pans out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The interest, however, personal interest is that unless and until I'm vaccinated, I'm not ready to join. Mm. Right? Unless there are clear guidelines or SOPs that I can work with, if there's, for instance, a 250 participant cap or something like that, then it gives me, the user or the participant, a lot of assuaging my fears, I suppose. Yeah. But until then, I think it's going to be a lot of wait and see for now. All right, fantastic. That was our conversation with Karen Low and ICG Lim of the Sports Industry Coalition. If you want to learn more about how this can impact your communities, I urge you to find out more about them and, of course, all the various associations that are associated with the Sports Industry Coalition. But if you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for Notepad over there. Until then, thanks very much for watching. Continue to stay with us on Astro Awani.